Hey, this is Daniel Gregory. Thanks so much for joining me for this episode of the Perceptive Photographer Podcast. This is episode 317. I really do appreciate you tuning in. If this is your first time listening, welcome. And if you're a longtime listener, thanks so much for sticking around. I have a couple of quick announcements I want to make before we jump into today's topic. The first is I'll be rerunning my Meaningful Image Workshop starting here again this fall, starting in early October. This is an online, it's about a six-month workshop where we really dive deep into helping you understand what your work is about, how you create impactful photographs, and how to talk about those photographs, and not just your own photographs, but how you also communicate and learn and interpret other people's photographs. And it's limited to six people. Registration is currently open up on my website, so you can check that out. I have information up there. I have some quotes from current students who are taking the workshop, so you can hear a little bit about their perspective on the workshop as well. But it's open up now. There's some early bird pricing to save you a couple of $100 on registration. If you have any questions, you can also email me, and I'll be happy to answer any of those questions. I'm also going to be teaching two classes at the Lightroom Virtual Summit, which is going to be running from May 3rd to May 7th. I'll be teaching about Lightroom profiles, how you create profiles, the magic of working with profiles, and really how they can impact your photography. And I'm also going to be teaching a quick class on DSLR scanning and converting your negatives, your kind of film negatives, into positives inside of Lightroom, and some software to do that and help you create a really kind of interesting way of incorporating film into your digital workflow. So hopefully you can join me for both those classes. There's also dozens and dozens of other classes. There's 20 amazing instructors up there. So the conference is free, or you can purchase a Lightroom pass. I've got links in the show notes for both the free registration and purchasing a VIP pass if you're interested. And that also has some early bird pricing on it, which will save you about $50, I think. So that is a great opportunity there for learning a lot about Lightroom if you're interested in kind of getting organized around that. This week, I wanted to talk about this idea of how we enter into a situation in our photographic process and how that can be defined by such small little events and the impact those little events have. And I think some of you have probably had this experience outside your photography, but you've gotten up in the morning, say, and you go into the kitchen, you pour yourself a cup of coffee, and then you accidentally like drop the coffee mug and you spill coffee all over the floor. And then you feel like you've got this huge mess to clean up. So you start to clean that up. And then as you stand up, you end up hitting your head on the counter, and then your head hurts. And it feels like this snowball effect of dramatic, terrible event after terrible event. And before you know it, everything that happens that day is just horrifically bad. Or on the converse side, you get up in the morning, you're walking outside, and you look down and there's a $20 bill that had fallen out of your pocket the day before, and you pick that up and you think to yourself, wow, can't believe how lucky I was to find this $20. And then the next thing happens, and all of a sudden you get a phone call from a long lost friend you haven't heard from in a long time, and you catch up and hear these wonderful stories, and everything just seems to snowball to be a great day. What's interesting about those events in isolation is they're nothing more than just events that happen. And then we react to those events in a certain way, and the reaction we have sets us into a certain tone and to a certain way of being, and that way of being then influences the next event. And this is why I wanted to talk about that related to our photography, because I have found a lot of times when I'm working with photographers, particularly around critiquing photographs, the way they react to the initial photograph that's critiqued often dictates what they believe the entire critique was about. And so if the first image discussed, somebody has a negative reaction to, or has a critical assessment of maybe composition or how the photograph could be improved or something that's distracting within the image or how it doesn't seem to fit within the message described by the photographer, that the rest of the images also seem to be mired in problems. And yet that may not be the case. It may have literally been the isolation of that single image in the entire series that caused that reaction. I think as we approach our work, as we think about our work, one of the things we have to be aware of if we're going to create meaningful photographs and we're going to make sure that we're always putting our best foot forward is that we're aware that it's our reaction to things that often dictates the behavior that we ascribe to the event. If I'm having a conversation with you about your photograph and I say I don't like that photograph, that doesn't mean I don't like all of your photography, but it's very easy, like I said, to get into that space. So how do we deal with that problem? How do we avoid being consumed by these actual overtly positive or overtly negative reactions that we might have to what is actually a pretty neutral event? I think one of the first things we have to do is we have to take a deep breath anytime we're given feedback, anytime we're given critique, so that we can give ourselves a little bit of space to process that reaction. Because one of the things I think that from a reaction standpoint, a lot of the times what we react to as a problem with somebody else or somebody else's image might in fact be a reaction to our own photography. So when I look at somebody else's photograph and I see something in that image that I don't like, it might be in fact something in my own photography that comes up over and over again that I don't like. And as I present the critique, I make it grander than it really is, or vice versa. It's a problem that I know exists in a lot of my photography and that's been brought up into this individual image. So by taking that deep breath, by giving myself a tiny bit of space to judge the reaction, I might be able to give myself enough room to really process what is my reaction about. Is it about the feedback I was given? Is it about something else? Is it about something that I'm anticipating happening? Because one of the things that also happens in this snowballing effect of positive or negative energy or positive or negative events that are happening is they'll self-fulfill their own prophecy. And so as we start to think something's gone wrong, the next thing that happens, we look for it to be wrong. And in a critique of photography, that can be really damaging, because what we're really there to get the critique for is to get better, to get an assessment of the work, to figure out a direction to go in, a way to actually talk about the work, to present the work, a place to showcase the work. And if we get mired in our reaction and anticipation of the next thing, that can be really damaging. And so if you can treat each individual statement as its own statement, unique to that specific moment, I think you're in a better position. The other thing that I think happens when we start to get into this negative headspace or the overly rosy positive headspace, we end up thinking about the next element in the conversation, the next thing we're going to say in response to that. So a negative reaction, the person starts to talk, which may actually be insightful, informative information about why they reacted that way, but we're already thinking about what we're going to say next. So we're out of the conversation, we're out of the moment, we're out of the presence of the actual dialogue that's happening in anticipation of what we're going to say next. And I have a good friend who always says that the only reason we actually engage in conversation is so we can hear ourselves talk about the things we're interested in. And that we tolerate other people talking so we can get to the thing we want to actually talk about. And while I don't necessarily think that's true at all, outside the extremity of the humor behind it, I do think there is something about that when we get into a negative headspace, when we get into this psychology of something being different, something being off, and we start to anticipate how we're going to react to that, there is some truth to that. We're trying to get ourselves in a position to defend the work, to agree with the work and decide that we actually shouldn't be doing photography anymore, or wherever we end up with that. We end up in this really kind of strange headspace. So again, that breathing, that taking a step back, and then really consciously refocusing your energy on listening to what was actually said, listening to what is being said. And then again, give yourself some additional time to then process the reaction. Because the other thing that's great about critique is you don't have to respond in the moment. You can easily say, well, that's a lot to think about. I'm going to go think about that. And then you give yourself a chance to really step back and think about the plausibility of the feedback, the reality of, is that feedback directly applicable to you or not? We don't always have to take all the feedback we get. We don't have to think about the person critiquing the work and assume that they're always correct. We have the opportunity to decide what feedback we want. And part of the challenge of getting better as a photographer is learning who you can get that feedback from that is a reliable source of information. But we also have this opportunity to, again, I think, find that we don't have to get in a snowball situation. We don't have to make sure that if we get negative feedback or positive feedback, we go down a path that is determined by the type of feedback we're getting. So as you start to think about how you share work, as you start to think about how you get feedback, I would encourage you to try to give yourself some space around those comments to really process what they are. And at the same time, if you're critiquing work, if you're talking about somebody else's work, I think giving space is really important. I think giving room for people to go out and figure out what they're reacting to and how they're responding, and ask them about that. Like, are you hearing, or what did I say, or what did you think about that feedback? But give them time to respond to that. Give them time to figure out what's going on. And at the same time, give them time with the feedback you've given that's the most critical. So maybe you don't give them every bit of feedback. Give them the thing that's the most important, so you don't overwhelm them so that they then tune out and no longer listen to anything you have to say. So I hope as you think about how you get engaged with your photography, these little, you know, the drop coffee in the morning that snowballs into a terrible day could easily go the other direction. You could have dropped the coffee and maybe it was bad coffee and was bitter and gross and disgusting and shouldn't have been drunk that morning anyway. There's a lot of ways you could spin that story. And while people call it spin, it really is about that central reaction we have to the events that transpire in front of us. And again, you're in control of that event. So again, a deep breath, a little bit of stepping back from the situation and focusing on what really matters, I think will be a big, big benefit for you as you critique and get your photographs critiqued. I hope you have a wonderful week behind the camera. Thanks so much for joining me. Remember to wear your mask. Keep everybody safe. Keep everybody all happy and warm. Snuggled up in a COVID-free blanket. So please make sure you do that. And if you've gotten your vaccination, congratulations. And if not, be patient. I'm sure we'll all get there. And I hope you have, again, a wonderful week. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.